time for us to talk a little baseball. To do that, we welcome into the program our friend Jay Jaffe. He's the senior writer at Fangraphs, of course, the creator of Jaws, author of the great Cooperstown casebook. Jay, good to have you back with us.
Hey, thanks, Rich. It's good to be back.
Interesting all-star game last night. It was some pretty good baseball.
Yeah, I thought that was a fun game. It's been a while since the National League won, so that was something to see, and they did it in dramatic fashion. And it was a tight, low-scoring game. Those defensive plays by the American League early on, I think, set the tone. Good pitching and pretty fun evening.
Yeah, and another good showcase for the really, really a deep lot of good young talent in Major League Baseball these days.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I thought it was a great showcase, and when you don't have Aaron Judge or Mike Trout there, it feels a little bit different. But it would have been nice to see Shohei Ohtani pitch and all that, but. Still, again, a lot of great players on the field. I think we'll remember a lot of the stuff that we saw, the Rosarina catch, the Garcia catches, things like that. Just a good time.
And the Seattle fans are making their pitch to find a nice new home for Shohei if he has a chance to leave.
Boy, he was a popular guy this past few days, and really does seem increasingly inevitable that he'll be somewhere besides Anaheim next year, and I'm still skeptical that the Angels would trade him, or at the deadline here, unless they really plunge, because they do still have a shot at the wild card spot. It does sound like I think he understands greener pastures could await him.
We'll talk about this season and what to expect in the second half in a little bit, but I wanted to ask you about Commissioner Manfred mentioned that they're certainly very interested in expansion, eventually getting to 32 teams after they resolve some stadium situations. Is expansion good for Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've seen Major League Baseball rebound from the pandemic and, the rule changes that they've implemented this year have been, largely positive developments, particularly when it comes to trimming the game times by nearly a half an hour. Expanding into new markets where the demographics or trends are positive, I think, is the next logical step. They got to figure out what's going on with the A's, though. Rob Manfred met with the mayor of Oakland during the All-Star break, and there's maybe haven't heard the last of that one. And the Rays, obviously, situation with their ballpark needs to be resolved. But, I wrote about the Salt Lake City bid or the potential bid for Salt Lake City because I'm from Salt Lake originally, and anytime that's in the news baseball-wise, it kind of perks my interest. And, never thought that would be a viable market for Major League Baseball, but the more I looked at it, the more I can understand the demographic changes that favor it relative to the place that I left over 30 years ago. So I'd be interested to see what happens.
We're talking with Jay Jaffe here on Downtown. You had a very interesting piece on Fangraphs a couple of days ago about home run derby champion Vladdy Guerrero Jr., who's put up good but less than stellar numbers this season, and there are some reasons for that, including, among other things, you wrote about the fact that he's been less selective at the plate this year.
Yeah, he's been less selective at the plate. I think he's just that's a tendency you see when hitters aren't getting the results that they're used to getting. They start chasing more, and he had that big 2021 season, and it's gotten, I think, a little sloppy, chasing pitches at the top of the zone. And more recently at the bottom of the zone as well, or just above the zone or below the zone, more to the point. He was always, I think, a bit of a free swinger, but at the same time, incredible bat control, doesn't strike out all that much for a power hitter. But the big thing for him is that he's just, he's putting the ball in the air a lot, but he's just not getting the expected results at an almost historical level You know, to the extent that we only have 8 years of StatCast history, it's still remarkable. He should, for how hard he's hitting the ball, he should be putting up much better numbers. And maybe there's something to the ballpark changes at the Rogers Center. You know, I think if anybody's panicking over his drop in production, I think, you know, we can look towards some positive regression here in the second half.
Well, the Braves have been playing great baseball. They went roaring into the break with some wins over Tampa Bay. Are they clearly the team to beat in the National League? And who, if anybody, can challenge them there?
Yeah, right now they are by far the strongest team in the National League, I think. You know, the NL Central has become interesting with the emergence of the Reds and the fall of the Cardinals. You got the Reds and the Brewers there. The National League West, the Dodgers are just not the powerhouse they've been in recent years. They're in a dogfight for the division with the Diamondbacks, and the Giants are right there on the edge of the picture. So the Braves are just so much better than every other team. I think they've got 8 more wins than any other NL team at this point. So the one thing that can derail them, though, I think, is their starting pitching. They've already sustained a bunch of injuries. They're without Max Fried. They're without Kyle Wright. Their two best pitchers, or two of their best pitchers last year. It'll be interesting to see if either of those guys comes back and how they manage the workloads of the young pitchers that they've got who are doing the heavy lifting, Bryce Elder and Spencer Strider.
Tampa Bay got off to that historic start, but they've come back to earth in recent weeks. Orioles only a couple of games out, and then out west, Houston, as you would expect, is coming on, even with Jose Altuve dinged up. Who's the best team right now in the American League?
Boy, that's, it's tough. We've seen a lot of ups and downs here. I mean, the Rangers started hot too, and they've been on the skids for the last month or so. I still think that the Rays are the strongest team, but they sustained some pitching injuries. It'll be interesting to see how they patch that up here. I'm impressed by the Orioles. Certainly, a lot's come together for them, and it's exciting to see guys like Adley Rutschman and Henderson and their other young players, getting a shot here. The pitching has come together nicely too. If they can get Grayson Rodriguez back up and performing well, that could be a really good team.
One of the great stories in Major League Baseball this year, and it hasn't gotten, I don't think, enough coverage, is the job that Luis Arraez has done chasing 400. And I think he's around 383 right now. It just illustrates how incredibly difficult it is to hit 400 for an entire season.
Yeah, I mean, he was hovering right around 400 there for a while. I think as late as, let's see here, June 24th, he still had a 401 average. There's a reason this hasn't been done in 73 years. It's just tough to do. I mean, he's hit a fairly ordinary 291 in the last 2.5 weeks before the All-Star break here. So, you can't do that and still wind up hitting 400 because it's too hard to make up the ground once you slip far below it. But it's still incredible what he's doing and a lot of fun to watch.
Obviously, if we were handing out awards at the break, you would think Shohei Ohtani would be the American League MVP. Would it be Ronald Acuna in the National League?
I think so. I mean, this power-speed combination he's showing off is just incredible. 21 homers, 41 steals. That's a 40 homer, 75 stolen base pace. Who doesn't want to see that kind of play? I'm reminded of what Eric Davis was able to do when I was a kid. That power-speed combination, and this is for the 21st century, and it's really exciting to see.
We're seeing a lot more speed this year. How much of that is a product of the pitch clock?
It's the pitch clock and the engagement rules are certainly, I think, the main drivers of that. Stolen base per game rates are up. Success rates are up. The increased base size helps a little bit, I think, on the margins too. So, I it's added a fun dimension, back to the game. I hope it's, I hope we continue to see it here, because it's a lot more fun when you've got guys moving around here. But I think there's some pitchers and catchers who need to work on tightening up their ability to hold runners.
Has the addition of the designated hitter had a big impact on the National League from your perspective?
Yeah, I think, it's gotten rid of the dead spot in the lineup. It's boosted scoring levels. I think it was an idea whose time was overdue, and now it's like, oh yeah, pitchers used to hit. I forgot about that. there are fond memories of the occasional Bartolo Colon home run or something like, the moments like that. But for the most part, I don't think anybody misses all the automatic outs and the times that, a pitcher had to leave a game that he was pitching well because his lineup spot was up and there was a strategic reason to go for it, at the expense of taking out the best pitcher.
Nobody understands the Hall of Fame better than you do, Jay. Who are some likely candidates for the Hall next year?
Oh boy, this upcoming class is going to be a fun one here. We've got Adrian Beltre and Joe Mauer are the two most prominent candidates, first-time eligible this year. Chase Utley, a stat-head favorite, is also hitting the ballot for the first time. And good old Bartolo Colon, who we just mentioned, will be there too. He doesn't really have a chance, but it's a good time to remember his career. Those are the top guys, and then, of course, seeing how the holdovers fare will also be of interest here, because we've got some guys who are trending towards election. Todd Helton with 72% this past year. Billy Wagner heading into his final year, having gotten 68% last year. It's going to be a very interesting election.
Who had the most surprising performance, either good or bad, in this past year's vote?
Oh, Scott Rowland getting over the line was I think, to me, the most impressive, because it was not at all a given that he could get that close. He had come in with 63%. Gaining that last 13 points or whatever it was. That's not a given. That usually is a 2-year climb. More like where Wagner or Helton are. You end up kind of on the fringe and then get in that next year. So to me, that was the big surprise.
Your daughter is getting so big. She got some pretty good baseball skills, too.
Yeah, I think her interest in the game might be waning at this point, but we've had a lot of fun, teaching her how to set herself up in the box and get ready for a pitch and how to throw. Discovered halfway through her little league career that she preferred to throw left-handed. She'd always been demonstrated some amount of ambidexterity, and one day she decided, I think I want to throw left-handed, and so we bought her a new glove, and she loves the phrase putting mustard on the ball. That girl has the mustard on it. So it's been a lot of fun. I've spent a lot of time as an assistant coach with her various teams, and it's been fun to watch her grow, and we'll see if she maintains an interest in it. She's told me that she might be on the verge of retirement, but if that's all it is, we've had a blast.
That's too bad, because as a lefty, if she can throw strikes, she can hang around forever.
I keep saying that. So does her mother.
Jay, what are you drinking lately? Have you had any good beers that we should know about?
Oh, let's see here. Yeah, some good ones. The local Threes Brewery continues to churn out great stuff here in Brooklyn. And let's see, what else? I just had something that I was really fond of, and I'm trying. You put me on the spot here. I'm blanking on that. Let me check my Untappd log while I have you here. What was it that I just drank that I liked? Trial by Wombat. This is a brewery for, I think it's up in, I think it's Burlington. No, it's Buffalo. Thin Man Brewery. With a play on the phrase "trial by combat," it's got a pretty funny picture of a wombat on the can. This is my wife's favorite package and beer name. combination there. It's a very good New England hazy IPA that I liked a lot, and I was overjoyed to be able to find it in the supermarket recently.
We've got a nice beer right here in studio. Carrie, our producer, just came back from New Orleans and brought back Velvet Voodoo, a dark lager. Ooh. From Faubourg Brewing Company in New Orleans.
Wow, that sounds like it's in my wheelhouse. I'll have to look for it.
Yeah, we're going to check that out. Well, Jay, it is great to talk with you. As always, appreciate you making some time for us today, and enjoy the rest of the baseball season, and we'll talk again before too long.
All right, sounds great, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
Jay Jaffe, FanGraphs, author of the Cooperstown Casebook.